his disciples and his followers. And so we're going to just see a few little slides. And I thought, you know, in quietness, I didn't put any music or anything to these slides. Just look at these and think of what they speak to you, what remembrances they bring to your mind when you think of the coming and the sacrifice of the Lord and his resurrection from the dead. So just a few minutes of maybe quiet meditation, thinking about this day when the Lord raised from the dead.
Sundays, I think, that have to be the hardest to give a devotional. I think Easter ranks over Christmas. There's a high level of anticipation. I have to be well spoken. I have to meet your level of expectations because the stories are well known, right? And I'm the only one here for you to listen to. So, these are important days. This is an important day. Brother George, in his introduction at the Lord's Supper, gave a brilliant summary of what today means. And I hope to build upon some of the things that he said. I come from a family of storytellers. And so I just want to tell the story today. I don't have 3 points. I don't talk about any Greek words. I just want to tell the story. I want us to hear the story. I teach children, and so I tell a lot of stories as a way to bring out truths, to help us remember. And so I just want to tell the story. It's been almost 200 years ago, 2,000 years ago, I'm sorry. We could picture the day. It's been 3 days since the cross. As the disciples and the other followers of Jesus are there, they're waiting. They're waiting for something to happen, for anything to happen. Maybe some of them are waiting for the resurrection, although they might have had a different words that they used, because this had never happened before. Others, perhaps, weren't waiting for the resurrection because a resurrection needs someone to do the resurrecting, and they had watched their friend, their leader, Jesus, be put into the tomb. But they were all still there. We know that. They were all still there. They were waiting. They were thinking. They were hoping. Friday night had been a terrible night, full of tears and anguish. The Roman soldiers had kept them away from the cross. And really, what were they going to do anyway on that night? What could they have done? Could they have chased the crowds away? Would they have fought with the soldiers? They hadn't slept at all that day on that night. That was a long night. Saturday was even worse. Saturday was the longest day that they had ever experienced because everything had changed the night before, and they still didn't know what they were going to do. Should they go to synagogue? Should we gather together with all the Jesus followers and do something, anything? Should we pray? Should we sit together? Should we eat? Can someone cook? Did they share memories? This was the day of faith. This was the day between the terrible and the hope. And of course, we know what happened next, but they didn't. So this was their day of faith. Desperate faith, a long day. And then it was night again. And so they scattered to their homes. Maybe they tried to sleep. Some of the women, before they left, had made a plan. Let's go together to the tomb. Maybe the soldiers will let us sit there for a while. Maybe we can anoint the body. Maybe we can perfume the body. Well, what about the stone? Who's going to move that? I don't know. We'll figure that part out when we get there. So early the next morning, when the birds started singing, which had to be a shock because of everything that had happened, the birds were still singing. They set out. And on the way, they worried that the tomb would still be sealed. But when they arrived, there were two shocks. First, the soldiers were gone. No one was there. No one challenged them as they entered the garden. No one was there. No one was there. And second, the tomb was open. The stone was maybe lying on its side. The entrance was exposed. But there was also a third shock because the tomb was empty. I hope that there will be some way in heaven that we can watch what had happened. Don't you want to do that? Don't you want to watch what had happened? Was it dark inside the tomb? And then suddenly, did Jesus breathe? How did the angel open the tomb? Did he roll the stone back? Did he knock it down? Was it Michael or Gabriel? Matthew says that there was only one angel sitting on the stone. Mark says that there was an angel, that he was inside the tomb. Luke said that there were two angels that suddenly appeared. And John says that there were no angels at first, but suddenly there were two, and they spoke to Mary. But I think they're all right. So in a flash of light, then an earthquake, the first angel appeared, and he rolled back the stone. And then he sat on it as if daring the soldiers to do something. The second angel, he appeared. He entered the tomb, and he attended to Jesus, maybe helping Jesus take off the burial shroud and folding it up. This one stayed inside the tomb to announce that Jesus was alive. Two others waited outside, hidden to the eyes, sudden to appear to Mary and to give the message to the others who came. You have to think that, heavenly speaking, this was not a minor event. Personally, I think there were angels, whether seen or not, all over the place, grinning, maybe laughing and excited. When you have a good gift to give someone or good news, can you just feel the excitement that they had? They had the greatest news of all to give. And if we can't stop smiling while we have good news to give, well, they surely couldn't stop smiling at all. Were they solemn? Do angels giggle with glee? I don't know. But I think that's how they were acting, because they knew the significance of what had just happened. Way back in the Garden of Eden, they had been present when they heard the curse. He shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And now they understood. They had heard the promise to Abraham about all of mankind was going to be blessed by one of your descendants. They had heard the same promise to Isaac and Jacob, and they could trace the prophecy all through the line of Judah and David. They had finally figured out that the grand plan of the Creator God had worked itself out, and it was perfect. There were no false starts, and there were no redos. They had heard the words, "It is finished." And now they saw that the offered work and the sacrifice had been accepted. The proof was the resurrection. God accepting the work on the cross raised the Son. The angels knew that, and it's the list we all know. When you say them together, it sounds even better. They knew that sin had been defeated. The accuser had lost. Death had lost its sting. Prophecy had been fulfilled. The curse was lifted. Creation's future had been restored, and righteousness was available. That is the good news of this morning. Today should be called Good Easter Morning, because of Easter, today we can say, we can say that all is right and all is well. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for this reminding. We don't have words that we can use to express our thankfulness and our praise. They all fall short of the magnificence and the glory and the grace and the mercy that you showed. We ask that you would keep these things, that we would keep these things close. Like Mary said about a different event, that we could ponder them in our hearts. I ask today that this day, that it will be a blessed day for us. And we praise you, and that we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.